What's up? It's KFC. The NBA and NHL are in full swing. We got my man Tim Tebow at spring training with the Mets. Baseball season is upon us. We got a lot of sports cooking, which means a lot of events to go to. And if you want to get tickets to these games, SeatGeek is the best way to do it. SeatGeek is a free app. You download it, you open it up, you find the concert or the sporting event that you want to go to, and it maps out all the tickets that are available for sale on an easy-to-read chart, which means you can see exactly what each person is charging per ticket. So maybe it's the front row, but the dude who's selling the ticket is a dick, and he's charging way too much for it. Meanwhile, maybe you find some ticket in the middle of the pack that someone's just trying to unload at the last second, and you know you're going to get a really good deal. Bottom line is SeatGeek is going to show you the best possible price to get in the building. Also, all their tickets are 100% guaranteed. You don't have to worry about any fraudulent tickets. Everything's real. You will get in with any ticket purchased at SeatGeek. So download the free SeatGeek app, go to settings, click add a promo code, enter the promo code KFC, and after you buy your first ticket, you're going to get $20 back. They'll send it to you in the mail if you live in the olden times, or it will go directly to your PayPal account. So download the SeatGeek app, enter promo code KFC, $20 back after you purchase your first ticket. Let's cook. All right, it's me and your boy Feidelberg. Asa Akira was supposed to be here, but she's a dummy, and I don't think she accounted for the time difference is what I think happened. So she had a flight out of here back to L.A. at 5 p.m. I think she thought it was 8 p.m., and you know, we talked about time zones.
I know that game.
Time zones, they will get you every single time. So it's me, BC, and Feidelberg drinking some Bud Lights, enjoying ourselves here on a Wednesday afternoon. We were watching a little spring training baseball. My man Tim Tebow, the Messiah, up against the Feidelberg's Red Sox and Rick Porcello.
That was embarrassing. You know what? I'll give him credit. He still had four pitches.
Yeah, three.
I thought it was going to be three. That's what I asked you that before the at-bat. I said, does he see four pitches? And he did.
I mean, you jokingly said, I think he's got about, you know, as much of a shot as you do. But it's like, it's kind of true. Kind of accurate.
It really does. But he has a slightly higher chance than me or you do to hit the ball.
But I would say this, as someone who is a big fan of, you know, snaking it and get when you're in over your head and you're working a job or doing something you really have no business doing, Tim Tebow might be the best example of that on the planet right now.
Is he making money doing this?
I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know. I don't know how, like, minor league baseballs notoriously make nothing. Right. And that's when
I think they're trying to get that minimum wage up to $80,000.
Right, and that's when you're an established, actual minor league player. Right. He's, like, been invited to camp. He's in the Arizona Fall League. You know, I mean, here's the thing. How much money did Jesus make? I don't know. What was his salary? Don't care. Because he was busy becoming the Messiah. Okay?
This is nonsense you're saying.
It's not nonsense, John. John, I've said it.
I wrote a post today that Lent's bullshit. So if you're coming at me with the Messiah shit, you got the wrong set of ears.
No. Lent might be bullshit. By the way, the KFC Radio Lent situation, I think, is officially dead.
Yeah, because I found a loophole in the shower. I showered. I had one of those long ass showers where you keep turning the heat up just a little bit.
Get a little pruney. A little bit.
And I was in there pouring over the documents, trying to find a loophole, like a mergers and acquisitions lawyer. Like, I was like, I got to find a way out of this Lent thing. There's got to be something here. And I decided, yeah, like, Jesus didn't give up water and food. He fucking just couldn't have it. He didn't have access to it. If he had access to it, he would have had it.
And you know what? It's hard to refute that.
But it's like if an alcoholic comes to dinner and you say, do you mind if I have a beer? That guy's going to say yes, or else he's a fucking asshole. And you know what? It's not out of the question that Jesus was an alcoholic.
I was going to say, JC, I mean, he turned water into wine.
His blood alcohol was literally 100.
That's true.
He dated hookers. That sounds like an alcoholic to me.
JC was killing
him. He looked like a guy who's an alcoholic. He just got the long hair.
It's like, you haven't showered. You're hungover.
The hooker fucking always with him. The 100 BAC. These things. Tell you what, let's open an investigation into this Lent.
How about that, like the next Da Vinci Code book? We talk about how Jesus was actually just banged up all the time. That makes a lot more sense.
Doesn't the Bible make more sense if you picture Jesus as a drunk guy?
Seriously.
Going around like Jesus got lost in the desert for 40 days. How'd that happen? He was fucking wasted. He's just going around touching blind people. You can see now. You can see, bud. Come here, pal. This is my guy. You can see now.
I'll tell you what. The fucking wedding at Cana was just, he's the party guy. He didn't turn water into wine. He just made like a beer run. Like he just showed up with the booze. Like, keep the party going. Everyone, let's
Lazarus
go.
Lazarus was just like asleep. And
yeah,
he's like,
he woke him up. Lazarus was his drinking buddy.
Rose from the dead.
Yeah.
The festival where he started flipping tables and stuff, they ran out of booze.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
He's pissed off. What the fuck?
It makes a lot more sense when you think about
Judas
it that
was
way.
Just the first friend to be like, hey, man.
You got
like,
a problem.
I think, you know what, motherfucker? Go kill yourself.
Get out of here.
He's walking like in the shallow end, and he's like, look, walk on water, and all
his
friends
drunk
just
friends.
Like,
come on.
No, it's Jesus like those, is drunk again, man.
It's like a sandbar. He was on a sandbar.
Let him think it.
When you're drunk in the ocean, by the way, it is a lot of fun. You know what I mean? If you're ever on a sandbar in general is pretty cool. When you're drunk, it's like, ooh, I'm standing out here even though I'm 100 feet away. That was walking on water. Well, we just cracked the code. That's the new Da Vinci Code. Jesus was just drunk.
Jesus was a big fucking booze bag.
And that makes sense because what else would you do back in zero? There was nothing to do.
You're wasting ride donkeys.
Yep. Bang hookers. Bang hookers. Hey, Mary Mag, get over here. It's only zero, so all we get to do is bang. So, yeah, the Oss is out on the leggings. Feidelberg's dressing in Oss's clothes again, and I am just as racist as can be. That's where we're at. So, yeah, it's me, these two idiots. We're drinking beers and having a good time here. There was a study recently, Feidelberg, that you just blogged. That is a very KFC Radio appropriate story. The most popular sex position per state, given the little caveat, the little asterisk, that this is based on like internet searches. Because whenever you read a study or a science says, it's always based on like something that's kind of bullshit. So does this mean that we really polled everybody who had sex and we figured out their preferred sexual position? No. But there's some credence to this. And it was something what? Like half the states.
I got you here.
All right.
It is 29 states, 57% of them. Women on top is the number one position.
Which is a little bit surprising, except that it's not because that's how chicks get off. Like I would never call my personal favorite position girl being on top unless it was like I need the girl to be on top. Well, you know what I mean? So, like, is it my favorite? No, but it's my kind of my number one draft pick because I need you to fucking get off.
See, I disagree with that. My number one, and it's my number one didn't even make the
Feidelberg's
list.
Feidelberg's laying pipe. I can make him come in all different directions.
Well, no. I mean, we've said it before.
You just don't care.
Times. It's like, that's your job.
Right.
That's your job.
But their job, their job is by getting on top.
If we're both in the same car and you don't make it to the destination, that's because you jumped out. That's your fault.
You bailed.
You fucking got out of there. I stayed in it. I got there. My favorite position is guy on top. And that didn't even make the list. That's zero states. That's the favorite one. And I feel like that's...
Can we just pause for a second? Don't call it guy on top. That definitely sounds like gay sex. That sounds like you're banging a dude and you're on top.
I specified I just said woman on top. So
right. So you're just saying what? Like missionary?
Yeah, but like... A little twist, like legs up on the shoulders
okay,
or some
it.
Shit like that.
Got it.
Yeah.
Again,
like
guy on top sounds like you fucked a dude and you're riding him.
That's fucking
guy on top. You're such a fag.
You can't say the F word. It's gonna get us in trouble. This fucking microphone fucking sucks.
Why are they so wiggly? They're all twisting. These other shows come in here and they like fucking throw the microphones around the room or something. All right, guy on top. Back to you banging dudes.
That's where you're in complete control. I am the captain of the USS Don't Come Too Soon on that one.
Oh, like, I thought you meant like the girl. Okay, I got
no,
it. No, yeah.
I have her legs like I have a helm, like I'm at the helm of a ship, and I'm like, I can do what I want. If there's an iceberg, I can get out. Mm-hmm. I can
yes.
Pull out, boom, right?
For sure.
That's me. I'm If she's on top,
she can go as fast as she wants, right? Up and down as she wants.
And
you're
fucked. And if you do the wait, that falls on deaf ears.
Yeah,
she's like, oh, sorry. No, she's like, I'm almost there. I'm getting there. That's the finish line, and that's just not fair. And it's like that with, like, I'll go down the list of these things. Doggy style.
By the way, what you just said is what every single girl in the world thinks. Like, that's just not fair, right? So like, we have total control. I guess it's not like they don't worry about like not. If they finish, it's not a problem.
Right.
So, yeah. Okay, I hear you. Keep going.
The doggy style, I'm pro doggy style.
I'm in favor of that.
But it's number two. It comes second to me on top.
That's surprising.
Well,
you know, I mean, it's the same thing, except you get to see see their asshole.
I like to, well, they're in like two separate issues. One, I'm like, I'm pro intimacy in sex. I'm not animalistic. I'll throw a kiss out there or two. And then the butthole is also, it's a giver and a taker. Because if you make eye contact with a butthole the wrong way, that game's over. That game's over. The butthole catches you with a stank eye. You're out.
You play fast and loose, and it can come back to haunt you for sure.
Yeah. Then
I'll take that risk every time, by the way. So
it's like I
it's
said,
my number one.
It's my number two. That's a fair argument. I'll it's like I heard you guys with the Starburst. It's for me, it's like red and pink, where it's like it's one and two. And if you want to switch it however you want to switch it, that's fine. Now we have the confusing one. Massachusetts and New Jersey.
Oh, I love that it's Jersey too.
Jersey, yeah.
Oh, this is making perfect sense now.
The number one sex position of these two states is face sitting.
It's not even like a sex position.
Well,
yeah,
no, I have a steadfast rule in when I'm listing my best sex positions or favorite sex positions. Rule numero uno: my dick's got
to
be getting touched.
Yeah, it has to be.
I'm fine with face sitting. It's a 21st century, ladies. You want control? Take it for a little bit, but I need if it's gonna be in a conversation for my favorite sex position, the dick's got to be involved.
It's not a sex position. It's a sexual activity.
Ah, I like that.
There is a term for it, but it is not a position.
Correct. And that goes for the next one, too, 69. That's the same thing. It's like, it's something you do, you fuck around with.
Dude,
it's
we've
fun.
Had the 69 debate forever. 69 is a novelty.
Right.
And it's something that's fun to do. Oh, my dick's getting sucked. Wow, my face is all up in your business. But again, as I've always said, nobody is achieving their best sexual self during that moment. Everybody's kind of half and half. But for there to be any sort of scenario, like I said, whether it's Google searches or whether we're really polling people on what their favorite quote-unquote position is, the fact that Massachusetts and New Jersey in any way, shape, or form is coming up with face-sitting is nuts.
It makes
no sense, but it makes perfect sense.
I don't think it does in Massachusetts or Jersey, for instance. The last one here is, this one actually my favorite. It's Indiana. They're the only place that had it.
Oh, wow.
Their favorite position is crisscross. Now, that sounds like something
I don't even know what that means.
That sounds like something Steve Carell said in the 40-year-old version.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you as sex man, what's your favorite position? Oh, I like the crisscross. That's
Indian
style.
It's
so sexy and hot, crisscrossing. What the fuck is crisscross?
Did we look it up? Do we know what it is?
No, I didn't look it up.
How would I do that?
Fucking stupid.
Crisscross. Shout out to Indiana.
It sounds like a bunch of virgins. It sounds like Indiana. It sounds like everyone in Indiana is a fucking virgin, and they don't know what they're talking about. Crisscross.
That sounds. It's either that or just some like Kama Sutra shit, where it's like you have to be able to be a fucking gymnast.
You think there's a lot of Kama Sutra practitioners in Indiana?
I mean, it looks like fight. It looks like guy on top. I'm looking at the picture now. The girl's legs are up against your chest and onto your shoulders, except instead of just over your shoulders, they cross it like by your neck. That looks stupid.
That doesn't make any sense.
Waste of time.
Why did they do that?
Dumbass Indiana. Okay. But, you know, shout to the face sitters and the people getting faces sat on. Me personally, by the way, not necessarily doggy style, flat on your stomach. Which is something I've learned recently is called the prone bone. I stumbled upon a prone bone compilation, and I was happy about that because out of all the terms, like you at this point,
did you really stumble upon it?
I did because let me tell you why. We are very well versed in the vocabulary and the terminology involved on a pornography site, but what do you say for that? like sex with the girl on her stomach. Like, that's, I don't know, that's not going to be on the website. So I saw prone bone, and I searched that on Pornhub. Treasure trove. Boom.
Really?
Yeah.
I like the name. Although
I actually don't like the name. I think it's like a frat boy, like prone boner, dude. But when you're trying to just get the job done, find it.
But then again, SEO. Then again, doggy style is pretty cutesy too, it feels like.
Agreed. That needs to just be called like smashing from behind. That's really what it's all about. We got some voicemails to get into. Before we do that, though, I also, this is a running theme that we've had on Mail Time and KFC Radio before, a little something called I Just Don't Get It. And one of the things we didn't understand in this world was 3D printers, where you can just print things.
Like hearts.
Houses.
Houses.
There is a 3D printed house in San Francisco. It's very small. It's 400 square feet. It's $10,000. But you can print your house.
It's $10,000?
Yeah.
It's a pretty good deal.
It's a great deal. That's a fucking, in New York, that's probably like, you know, $1,000 a month.
At least.
Yeah. 400 square feet is tiny, but not. That's a New York City studio, and you're going to get it for 10 grand.
How long does it take to
print?
Yeah, print.
I don't know. I mean,
I'm gonna make sure one thing before I finish the sentence. This wasn't the start of an ad read.
No.
Okay. I thought this was gonna be the start of like, and you can get a printer up there. This is fucking bullshit. Anything that comes out of a 3D printer, that doesn't work.
Well, Adidas has the sneakers. I don't trust those at all. I feel like you can print them, you put them on, and they just fall apart.
Yeah, they have to.
They have that guns. House. You can print a gun. Like, I'm not going to go to war with a printed gun.
This
I'd be like, fuck, my printed gun doesn't work. I'm
dead. I'm dead. Yeah. This house here, this is like 21st century, what is it? The wolf.
Just going to say that. The house made of sticks.
Yeah.
The house made of bricks.
He blows his house down first.
Yeah.
First one.
Done.
First one.
This is the 2017 version, like, oh, the house was made of fucking 3D printer, and he huffed and he puffed, and it was done.
Right.
That, I'm with you on that. I can't wrap my brain around it at all, but, you know, shout out to the 3D printer people. I also don't want to hear people on Twitter being like, here's how it works. It's a tangible printer. Like, that's not a fucking example of how it works. that doesn't explain to me how this is possible.
Is it, like, concrete? Are they printing bricks? Like, what is this? What is the actual substance of this house?
Whatever. I mean, a wolf can blow it down.
Here's the deal. Let's get a $10,000 check from Barstool. Let's get one and see how long it takes us to knock it down with our bare hands.
That's a great idea. We just bash a fake house to death. Yeah. I mean, the house is $10,000.
Right in the middle of the office because it'll fit. 400 square feet, like right in the middle where you guys usually film the rundown. There'll be a house. And it'll last a week.
We spend a lot more than $10,000 on videos a lot. This is what I'm.
Well, the house is $10,000. The printer is probably like $10 billion.
Well, can we just rent the printer? Like, I want the printer for as long as it takes to make my house, and then you can take the printer back.
Yeah, that wouldn't make any sense if the price to print the house is $10,000, and they're like, oh, but wait, you actually have to, you know, when you build a house, you're not like, you also have to build a, you have to buy a bulldozer.
That's
you
true.
Have to buy a
you don't
crane.
Buy the fucking cement
just,
truck.
Like, this is
how
you
much don't
you
buy
the
Mexican
build.
Guys who build the house. Right. None of that.
Well, I was looking into that recently. I was like, why don't you guys just stay here on retainer? Because I'm going to need you guys quite often. It's March, which means it's March Madness over at BetDSI, which means they're going to have a $1 million bracket contest for all of our listeners, Feidelberg. BetDSI has been in business for over 20 years. They have a top-rated business on sportsbook review sites. They have a great mobile product. They have live in-game wagering, and it's the only way to make March Madness that much better. You're going to be drinking beers. You're going to be cutting out of work. You're going to be watching hoops, watching buzzer beaters, upsets, the whole nine. BetDSI is right there to make it that much better because you're going to win cash while you watch it. You can make plays throughout the entire tournament and even throughout individual games because of live in-bet wagering. They have great customer service. They have an easy way to cash out. Right now when you sign up, you get a $25 free play just for registering. So throw that on like a 16 seed. That's what I'm going to tell you to do. Take your free $25, throw it on a 16 seed, because not only is that going to be a nice payout, but you can be the guy who's like, I knew it. I called it. Everybody loves that guy at March Madness, right? I knew it.
Everyone loves him, yes.
Go to BetDSI, use the promo code KFC200, and you'll get a 200% bonus on your first deposit. So listen, you're going to be throwing around some cash during March. Might as well pony up with BetDSI. They'll match it. The 401k of sports betting. BetDSI, KFC 200. Get a 200% bonus on your deposit. Before we get to these voicemails, we got to do a little in-house discussion here. We've been talking about this on Barstool Radio, and we need to bring it to the masses, to the rest of the people. We are now planning a pay-per-view event, a one-on-one basketball matchup between Chris Bags and Loud Sean. I will quickly recap the story for those of you who don't know, because, again, this has been something that's just been on Barstool Radio, so if you're not a serious listener, you may not have seen it. About a week ago was the whole Barstool gang went out for karaoke. You were not here for this, right? You were in Vegas.
Yeah.
Okay. I was not there because I'm washed up. So they were at a karaoke bar. Again, basketball comes up. This has been a running theme. Caleb called out K. Marco. He doesn't think he's good at basketball. Everyone's arguing about who's best at basketball. So it actually started with Buddha Ben, which is funny because he's a mute. He doesn't talk to anybody. And apparently he was like, I'll fuck everybody up in basketball. So the discussion began. And Loud Sean eventually started talking with Chris Bags. And Loud Sean said, I'm going to beat you 21-17. I'm going to back you down in the paint 17 times and hit four jumpers in your face. And some shit-talking ensued. And things escalated rather quickly to the point where Chris Bags decided to say that he was going to fuck Loud Sean's wife and step on his children. And then they called, Portnoy called them into Barstool Radio, and they rehashed the argument, and everybody kind of doubled down again. Chris Bags was like, I hope your kids are listening right now so they know what a failure alcoholic their father is. Supposedly, there was maybe an F-bomb dropped in Chris Bags' direction, which is why he went off. Bottom line is, there's a workplace dispute to the max right now. Shit is getting real tense. And they finally decided to put their money where their mouth is, and they're going to play one-on-one. We're setting up all the details. It's going to be a pay-per-view event. We're going to figure out where we're playing. We're going to make it a live event where we do play-by-play, much like the Rough and Rowdy for Tex. And we're going to settle this.
I want to come out and say one thing. I'm KC Radio a lot in the past. There's been a lot of questions about like the darker, angrier person at Barstool. And we always said K. Marco. And since being in an office with K. Marco, I want to say that he's just delightful.
Not even close to the most darkest, angriest guy
he
ever.
He is. I mean, he's a bright, shining spot on my day.
Yeah.
I love sitting next
really
to
nice,
him.
Really nice, really polite kid.
Right? Loves to giggle. He giggles the time by himself.
Dude, the
I love
best.
When I'll send him a G-chat or I
press enter. There's a slight lag, you know, as it travels to him. He reads it, and then you hear like, like, got him!
It's the best. It's the absolute best. And, I'm going to take his crown, and I'm going to put it firmly on Chris Bags' head.
I mean, firmly, and he will never relinquish that title.
What the hell?
He is a fucking lunatic, man. He scares me. I don't even like talking about him because I'm like, I don't know what you're going to do next. I mean, there's a chance that, like, if this basketball game goes south, like, if he loses or something goes wrong, like, you know what he reminds me of? This is going to be like in Billy Madison, Eric, when he's in the fucking academic decathlon and he's asking about business ethics and he's like, bah, 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 and he pulls out the gun and everyone's like, whoa! That could potentially be this pay-per-view basketball game. It sounds to me, like I said, there was maybe an F-bomb dropped, which, you know, in 2017 you can't say that because the world is a bunch of F-bombs. But bottom line is I don't care what the circumstances are. You don't be like, I'm going to fuck your wife and step on your kids. That to me is just like, we always joke about it.
It's just really, really dark.
It's weird to be like, why'd you go there, man? That was strange. We always joke about the guy who's like, you're busting balls and he says, I hope your mom dies of cancer. But like, that's what Spags did.
To put things in perspective, you called me an F-bomb not 20 minutes ago. I didn't
care.
I didn't do any of those
didn't
things.
Didn't faze you. I love that we're using the term F-bomb after I already said it on the podcast.
My consciousness, I thought, that was kind of mean. And that was about it.
But you know what the difference here, too, is that it doesn't matter what the terminology is. It matters who the person is. Because what could I say to you to even really get you upset? not out of like.
I think if you said that shit about my wife and kids,
yes, that's true. That's true. If I ever took it there, but there's nothing else short of that that I could say, and not out of we have such a good friendship or we have like a moral compass, just out of laziness. Like if you just said anything about me, I'd be like, well. I don't want you anymore.
Yeah.
I'd be like, I disagree with that, whatever it is you're saying about me, but I don't really give a fuck.
I just go, okay. That's good. All right, whatever.
the emotions are running high for sure. People are taking things pretty serious these days here at Barstool.
It's an interesting business venture, I'll say that, to have to go from Rough and Rowdy, which was quite the event, to now we're playing midday basketball with two non-personalities.
You know what? It's either, I think it's kind of the power of Barstool. It's that we have like the fat video guy and the psychopath mute, and we're going to be like, these are the stars of our new pay-per-view challenge. I'll tell you, man, I'd tune in though, just because they're both, I mean,
I'll tune in just because what you said. I wasn't going to tune in, much like I wasn't going to tune into the text fight. but I'm not the best salesman. I'm an honest guy.
That's why we appreciate it. You always know you're getting the real deal with Federberg.
The opportunity for violence is very real in this.
I keep saying that. Like,
realer violence than Rough and Rowdy. Like, bare-knuckle, Rucker Park violence could happen.
It's going to be one possession of basketball, and like someone's gonna throw an elbow or a headbutt or something, and then it's gonna become a fight. I said we need to have a Hell in a Cell ready to drop around them, so the basketball court becomes a fucking wrestling ring. So
I do want to step up for my man Loud Sean too, because I'm a Loud Sean guy.
Hashtag Loud Sean forever.
Yeah, and I think Loud Sean's a fun dude. I disagree with the year ban. As a guy who's known to get drunk or two, a time or two, I don't think it's fair to put a ban on drinking. This isn't
not prohibition. This is not Russia.
And
it's America. You can't ban people from doing things like drinking.
As a guy who's partied with Loud Sean, I want to say he's a great time. He's much like Charlie or Dennis during the intervention episode where they're like, no, you're a lot of fun when you're drunk. You're crazy and you're out of control and you make terrible decisions. It's a great time. My problem is you're not doing it with me. That's kind of where I'm at with Loud Sean.
Okay.
Ray. Like his drunken party move is to just take glasses of beer and slam them on the ground.
Yes.
So, party move.
Okay, let me explain just for people if you don't know the full details. Loud Sean has been banned for one calendar year from drinking during Barstool events. Anything that's Barstool related, he cannot be drunk at, because he's now 0 for 2. Starting in Houston at the Super Bowl, he was running around the Totino's house completely naked.
No, he had underpants on.
I believe at some point he was fully nude, as I hear.
I missed that. I saw him in underpants.
He was grabbing beers out of people's hands, chugging them, and throwing them over the fence into the neighbor's yard. And there may have been some things where, like, someone was like, hey, where's that stuff? And he's like, it's gone. I did it all. It's gone. So he was going hard, and then he kind of got away with it. Nobody really talked about it. And then it happened again at karaoke, where his new move was that he would drink a mixed drink or a bottle of beer, and when he finished it, he would just smash it on the ground, which is not something I would really do or really want to be directly a part of, but if I saw that going on from across the bar, I'd be like, this guy's awesome. Yeah. Like, I'd be texting my buddies like, this fat guy keeps just smashing every bottle he drinks.
He's just like, he's in Charlie's angry room. He's just like a garbage pail kid surrounded by glass.
That's exactly what he is. So let me tell you something. The reason why you are firmly on Team Sean is because, like, you're one half step away from that. You're a crazy belligerent drunk, too.
I'm not a crazy. No.
No. I mean, you're not going to smash bottles and, like, do crazy shit, but, like, you'll be, like, blacked out right along with Sean.
But I was blacked out right along with Sean at the house party. I wasn't doing anything. I was just drunk at a party.
Well, like, you smacked my wife in the face that one time.
I was, like, 18, and I tapped her in the face.
Again, that's, not something you should be doing.
Those are different things. They're very different things.
But the point being that Sean has been a little bit rowdy the past couple times. Dave has enforced this ban. There's whispers that if he wins this game, the ban will be lifted. I think particularly if he wins at 21-17, because Loud Sean's direct quote was, "I will back you down seventeen 17 times and hit four jumpers in your face and beat you 21-17.
That's a power move. This is what I'm doing.
Yes.
Try and stop it.
Now, the real problem is that a game to 21 between these two people will take 5.5 hours. People will be gassed immediately, and that's why it will devolve into a fight right away. But the point being that, you know, let me tell you this too, John. I think you can relate to this. There was a time when the Barstool circle was a little more tight-knit. There was just not that many employees. And so someone like yourself maybe having a couple beers and sleeping in was like, "Duh, John's a crazy drinker," or something. Now we've introduced so many fucking lunatics into the mix that me, you, and the old guard are like so normal compared to these fucking psychos.
I like the old guard.
Me too.
I'm going to say that. The old guard is I'll rock with the old guard. In fact, Lewis, when they were all at the Watch What Happened Live the other day, Lewis said that Nardini was asking questions just about personal lives and things like that. And Lewis gave her a great line. He goes, "Listen, Nardini, you're on the pirate ship, but you're not in the crow's nest."
This is still inner circle shit,
yeah,
babe.
There's still a wall up of some stuff. Like, if you, what was it? If they wasn't with you when you weren't eating, don't let them eat with you now.
Like, yo, that is so true, man. There's still just, we got trust issues around here, and you're not in yet.
Some skeletons will always seep out a little bit.
Some are firmly.
There's still a fucking graveyard around.
Graveyard, and you ain't digging them up. No one's letting you in. All right, let's do these voicemails. Feitelberger, brought to you by 5-4 Club. 5-4, what do I have to say about it? I'm rocking the jacket today. I saw Feitelberg eyeing up my jacket during Lent.
It's a sharp jacket.
During Lent, when he was not allowed to dress nicely for a day, he was looking at me. I was like, "What the fuck are you looking at?" He's like, "Well, I just want to take one look at a stylish jacket before I can't wear it for 40 days. It lasted 24 hours, but the point remains that he saw my jacket, looked at it, thought it looked sharp, and that was something that just arrived at my house in a package. Now, you know, it's one thing. You get some T-shirts, you get some clothes, but 5-4 is sending stuff like a brand new jacket that I can wear every single day. Got fucking Lady Feitelberg turning heads like, "Oh, shit, that's a nice jacket." That's what 5-4 Club, Feitelberg Club, will bring to the table. I got a whole package of spring T-shirts that came the other day. Every single month, they'll send you a few items of clothing. You go to 54club.com, FIVEFOUR club.com. Create yourself a style profile. That means you put your size in and you put your fashion preference in. That way you know that everything that 5-4 sends you, you're going to like it and it's going to fit you. Right now, use the promo code KFC. You're going to get a double package on your first month. That means you're going to get $240 worth of clothing for just $60. That means you're going to get shirts, pants, jackets, sweaters, the whole nine for just $60. The offer expires on the 31st, so get it in now. Go to 54club.com, promo code KFC at sign up, and you get a double package. So we're going to do these voicemails. After that, I got an interview with the dudes from Bravo, Jax from Vanderpump Rules and these two clowns from Summer House. It's an interesting look into the world of reality TV stars because they're not humans. They're like a zoo exhibit. It's wild talking to those people. So me and Fights are going to bang out these voicemails, and then you can listen to those guys talk. Let's get into it.
Hey, KFC Fights, Asa, long-time reader, first-time caller. So I had to call because a lot of people that I've told this to think this is absolutely bonkers. Obviously, needed all your opinions on this. My friend went out on a date the other week. But the guy she met online, I'm not going to say the app, I know you all don't do free advertising. And basically they planned the date earlier in the week, and this guy brought a change of clothes with him on the date. Like,
cocky.
I'm talking about like his work clothes for the morning. So they met up really late too, at like 10 o'clock. So it wasn't like he just came from the office. So is this an absolutely bonkers move from a girl's perspective on a first date? From a guy's perspective, is this absolutely genius? I have to know the answer. A lot of people I know think this is fucking crazy. So,
I have a lot of thoughts on this. I'm going to defer to you, though. I'm interested to see where you go first.
I think it's a wild move, but here's the deal. I've never had a job. Like, I'll just roll in with these clothes again tomorrow.
True.
I have a job.
I don't think it's about the clothes.
What do you think it's about?
I think it's a power move on his part. Like, I don't think he really cares about, like, if he has clothes for the morning.
Oh, no, I think that's too forward. I think if you can avoid it, you don't do that.
I mean, you can avoid it. You can absolutely avoid that.
Yeah, he could have avoided it. Yeah,
I think I don't agree with the tactic. I think that's why he was doing it. I think
it's one of those things that we talk about a lot, like...
It's like the classic pickup line, like, what can I make you for breakfast? You know
what
I mean? I'm assuming I'm going to stay over. And while I think it's douchey, and I think it's probably going to backfire way more often than it succeeds, I could see a scenario where, like, some chick just gets swept away. We're just like, well, I don't know what's happening. I guess this is going down. The same way that, like, maybe it's not physically, like, he brought clothes, but a lot of times guys just kind of assume it's going down. Let's get another drink. We're going to go back to your place, blah, 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 blah. And you just kind of, you know, I wasn't going to say force, but it just kind of, you know, encourages the situation.
It's one I really can't have a strong take on because it's just so not my game.
I don't know what your game is. Your game is probably just to sit around and miss signals and not get laid.
My game is to just weigh you down. Like that. Yeah, like, it's just... Well, yeah, no, that's my primary game, and I excel at it. But
you thrive at that. You are a Hall of Fame.
But my second one is kind of just like... It's I'm trying to think. Like, it's the same game that Vern Troyer has when he jumps on Michael Myers' neck. And it's just like, I'm going to stay around here long enough with a loose enough grasp that eventually you're gonna collapse. I'm just gonna hold on tight and try and put a little pressure on you, and that's gonna be it. I'm not gonna let you shake me loose, but I'm also not gonna squeeze too hard, and eventually one of these things will fall.
Ladies, he's on Twitter at Fights Barstool. You can find him. That's the kind of shit that gets the girls wet. That's what they want. I'm gonna be like mini me and jump on your neck and wear you down.
That's it. I'm a slightly too tight turtleneck, and it's just, eventually I'm gonna get you. And I play the long con.
John, you long con so hard there's no end in sight. You're long conning girls until you never see them again.
I play the long con like, well, here's the part of the long con is you have to accept that you're going to die alone. So that's when it's like, if this con goes poorly, you know how in like Ocean's 11, like if we fuck this up, we're dead.
Dead.
That's kind of how the long con is when you try to get a girlfriend. Either it's successful or I die. But like, the other.
Life or death proposition here with Heidelberg. Yes. So I totally understand what you're saying here. You would never be the type to be as forward as bringing clothing over. I could see a scenario. Again, I like to play devil's advocate here. I would never be the only. I'll tell a story clothing involved. It's not the same situation, but one time I was off from work. I was going to go hook up with this girl in the middle of the day who was disgusting. She was awful. She looked like a Sabret hot dog. She was disgusting. And I wanted to just be in and out. And so I told her I was at work and I had like an hour for lunch, even though I was off from work. So I put on work clothes and I shot down to her apartment, hooked up with her and left. So it was a dark time. I was in desperate need. So sometimes you gotta, like, you know, your clothing dictates the situation. I wouldn't do it myself. I could just see a scenario where sometimes girls are very impressionable, and maybe, you know, she's a little fickle, and you want to just like kind of seal the deal, and it's like maybe she was 90% there but like right on the fence, and you show up with an overnight bag and she's kind of like, oh, I guess he's staying over.
See, here's a key detail though. Do we know, did she say it was the first date?
Was it the first date?
Yes. I'm 99% sure I heard first date.
That's crazy.
If they had hooked up before.
That's a bit much.
They'd hooked up before. I think or it's even, just like, hey, we're meeting like, up at 10 o'clock at night. I'm staying over.
Yeah. Well, that's,
but if it's
you know,
a first date.
Going out at 10 o'clock.
You mean that's
presumptuous.
This whole thing I've been acting under the impression it's the first date. I may have misheard, but it's banana land. You can't be doing that on a first date.
Or maybe you just are like, I'm only in this for one fucking reason, so I'm going to roll in there. And if she's grossed out by it, fine. It's just like, let's cut to the chase.
But don't you think if you're that aggressive, I think a girl may be down, but when you're that, like if you're just like, you know, condoms falling out of your pocket.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Yeah, it's like it's like bringing your own lube or something to a hookup. It's like, whoa, dude, you've assumed too much here. It's yeah, I could see a scenario where things were going well, and then it's like I was gonna bang him until he was so presumptuous that he thought I was staying over.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I think you have a much better shot.
Much better.
Showing up without.
I'm only trying to play devil's advocate here. It's not a good idea. But, you know, there's always that one dude out there who operates in a bizarre way, and I don't
but
know.
But that dude usually operates the numbers game, which we've discussed.
Right.
And, like, this is you're on a date. This isn't at a bar. Like,
right.
You're on a date. Unless you have seven other dates lined up, this is your this
maybe
is your
he's
shop
just going
night.
From bar to bar with that bag. Like, one of these is going to work. A 10 o'clock date, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock. Not recommended. KFC Radio, not seal of approval.
Definitely not.
Hey, what's up? This is Kyle from Kentucky. I just had a comment about a couple different things that y'all have had going on lately. Y'all were talking today about Lent, and then you've got that weird MMA intern doing the no-coming thing.
Octagon Bob. It's his new name.
Story. About when I was in high school, for Lent, I gave up masturbation. Then one day, for a run and literally just came down my leg.
I didn't feel like this.
An orgasm. I guess just not wearing compression shorts just made it happen.
No.
It was weird, but I guess what my question was, if you had to do it, what you've got Robbie doing, how long could you go? Thanks.
I could not go more than 48 hours.
No.
I don't have the willpower, John.
See,
I'm mentally weak.
I can't.
Unless there was true stakes, by the way. So Robbie Fox went 19 days, 20 nights for no reason other than just like to tell us about it. That's not enough of a reason to torture yourself for 2/3 of a month. If there was a money prize at the end or something, I could understand. But like, if it was just me left to my own devices, within 36 hours, I'd be like, I'm going to jerk off because I want to. That's what it comes down to.
I guess if I can do I. Like I just went away for like 5 days with friends, and it was just like a lot of drinking. It wasn't a thing like I'm going to go come right now. So,
okay.
Like, I went 5 days like without.
God. Was that a fucking fiasco the sixth day?
Oh, when
was
I got home.
Fire hose?
I got home, it was an issue, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like, I don't know. It's something, it's like chewing tobacco for me, where it's never something, like, I never have the need. I'm never like, I need a dip right now, or like, I need to jerk off right now. But I'm just like, well, nothing else is going on, so might
Amen.
As well.
And you'll never really say no to it.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, fuck it. I guess I'm kind of bored. I guess I'll do both.
It's much like when I'm sitting at the bar and there's like the mixed peanuts. I don't walk into a bar being like, I can't wait to have the peanuts.
Right.
But the bartender gives me a beer and he scoops those out and puts them there. I'm going to eat them every time because they're there and they're available and they're free. And that's what masturbation is. It's available and it's free.
That's true.
And it's enjoyable. So it's not about my.
So, by the way, quick little update. It's still not free for me. I still have the browser prescription going just because I can't figure out how to cancel it.
Are you still watching exclusively your paid porn?
Nah, I bop around.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I mean, it's just the good stuff is free, too. It's really.
And I can't figure out how to cancel it. I looked like once for 5 minutes. And,
that's
fuck
it.
It's $30. $30 really, in the grand scheme of things.
$30
a month.
John, that's a lot of money for a monthly subscription. I would definitely seek out a $30 a month subscription. I thought you were going to say for the year or something.
No, I think it's 30 a month.
That's a decent chunk of change, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's not cheap.
Fucking Brazzers got a racket going.
Although the porn industry's never really been known for reasonably priced things.
True, but it's like, just funny to me that there's terabytes of free porn and John's paying $30 a month.
All right, I'll figure it out. I'll do it right now.
No, just give me the password and keep it going, man. I'll rock with that. Next voicemail.
That's what I should do. I'm going to check out what happens if I just give my password on air. But I'll check out for next week because then I think they'll eventually
shut it down.
Yeah,
we've done this before.
Everyone can probably get a good run or two.
Force them to cancel it.
Yeah,
yeah. Like, they won't
make it easy for me to cancel it. Fine, KFC Radio. Here's my fucking thing.
You know what? Let's definitely do that. Tune in next week. You will get a free Brazzers password for at least a short period of time. Yeah. We're gonna see
downloads
go 2 million downloads this past episode.
Hey, KFC. So I got a question for you. So I recently moved into a new neighborhood, and me and my dog were walking down the street last week, and this dog living on the street came up and attacked my dog. So I was pissed off, obviously, took her home, all that stuff. The day I noticed that the same house the dog came from that attacked my dog has a very fat 10-year-old kid living there. So my question is, can I bully this kid and make him cry to get back at his dog attacking my dog? Let me know what you think, Viva.
This is going to be a quick voicemail. That dude sounds like a crazy person.
That was
I thought that
weird.
Dude was a crazy person before he asked if he could start bullying a child.
So just to recap, his dog got attacked by another dog. The owner of that dog has a 10-year-old, and he wants to bully that kid to get back at him?
Yeah.
Well, of course you can do that. That is pre-crime.
Yeah.
That dude needs to
be
locked up.
The voice was...
Voice alone's pre-crime.
Right off the bat was a little...
And listen, we're all prone to call in this show and have some fun and ask some silly questions. I think that dude is seriously thinking about, like, beating up that 10-year-old.
It didn't seem like a joke. Like, yeah. If he was like, now, man, like, how can I get back? How can I defend my dog's honor? Like, I don't know. Yeah. Like, should I make fun of the kid?
Right.
Right? Like, that's one way to phrase it. That's not the way. That one is not the way.
When you see, like, 10-year-old killed in, like, a Connecticut suburb or whatever, it was the KFC radio caller.
Because it's a fair question. How do you get back at a guy? Like, if that guy showed no sorrow, no sympathy for his dog attacking your dog, you got to get back at him.
Well, okay, I have a little bit of a relatable story here. There was a dog when I lived in Hoboken. Her name was Cricket. She was a cunt.
I don't even use the word cunt. Cunt was the word I was going to use.
I always say C word.
She
was a
like
cunt.
A cunt. Yeah.
Her name was Cricket. She had Indian owners. I'm assuming they named her after the fucking sport, cricket. She was a beast Labrador. She was a fat cunt. And she used to fucking attack every dog on the block. Everybody in our complex, everybody at the dog park. She beat the shit out of Duncan. I mean, there were times where I was like, she's going to kill Duncan. And Duncan's a fucking idiot. He goes after her. She had 100 pounds on him, just dominating him. She was attacking humans, biting arms, legs.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah. We used to be like, fucking Cricket, somebody needs to kill this dog. Anyway, I just got a text on my birthday the other day. My buddy Mike, who still lives in Hoboken, texted me. He was like, I got a birthday present for you. They finally kicked Cricket out of the building, which means, like, the family got evicted from the building.
No way.
Which, like, it's not quite bullying a 10-year-old, but I was like, I fucking hate this dog, but do I want, like, a couple, like, humans to be kicked out of their house? And the answer was unequivocally yes. And when I found out that happened, I was, like, fist pumping, like, fuck that dog. It's a fat cunt dog. So, you know, sometimes these dog beefs can transcend just pet life, and you really want spite for, you know, human suffering. So I'm with it.
Leave the kid alone, though.
Yes, leave the 10-year-old out of it.
Fucking take the air out of the owner's tires or something.
Right. Or, like, punch them in the face, but don't take the kid into it.
So, KFC, awesome fights. So me and my roommate decided to buy a fish. We were at the store debating whether we should get one or two or not, and the cashier lady told us that we couldn't get two because if we did, one of them would try to eat the other one. Now, ever since then, I've been kind of wondering what this epic fish battle would look like. So I guess my question is, am I a bad person if I buy another fish and see how it all plays out? Am I slowly becoming Michael Vick? Just want to know your thoughts. Thanks. Bye.
First of all, fish are not real pets. They're not real animals. I don't give a fuck about fish dying. I've always wondered this. It's always like those, like, Japanese fucking beta fish or some shit, right?
I think it's fighting fish.
Fighting fish. I've always wondered this. How do those fish kill each other? They don't have, like, teeth. It's not like a piranha.
Good question.
So how does a Japanese fighting fish kill another Japanese fighting fish?
Just ramming heads together?
And just, like, almost like a ram, like whoever has, like, the strongest fish head?
It's a good question.
Give me your honest answer. We'll have you look it up. How do you think a Japanese fish kills another fucking fighting fish?
Well, it's not drowning.
Probably not going to set him on fire either.
I think it's got to be like some kind of like hand to hand combat, slamming heads until like
fin to fin.
One, maybe they got sharp fins. Cut them.
Could be. Do we have an answer? Does Google say anything? I honestly couldn't even give you, like, a reasonable...
I don't know.
I'd believe anything.
And this is an interesting thing, too, just further for the question, because I could definitely watch them fight. Eating each other That gets dark.
Like the fish eats the other fish, like consumes it?
Yeah. They'd have to do it slowly.
Yeah, very slowly. Almost like when snakes eat like antelope and they like fucking.
And you just have like, you know, it wouldn't get all the pieces. Like when you put fish food in a tank, some just floats around.
Yeah, it'd be just.
It would
like,
get grizzly.
Fish scales floating everywhere.
It would become a pretty bad scene. I do think you could watch them fight. And then maybe just save the other's body. You don't want to get desecrated. You know, once he starts to try to eat it.
Right.
Get it out of
then
there.
Then you flush that down the toilet with your shit and your piss.
Yeah.
Save that body.
The whole thing is like, I mean, look, Michael Vick, not a good dude.
Great, great, great call. Not a good dude.
Watching animals fight, super fun.
I don't know if I agree with you on that.
I'm not talking like to the death, but like just like watching two dogs wrestle is awesome.
Yeah, but that's like they're playing. Have you ever seen like two dogs really fight? I have cricket. It's fucking scary,
I guess I
bro.
I haven't seen him act. I've never like I just like watching like.
When you watch
Geographic,
yeah, no,
like,
I don't like that, man. Like you liked when that penguin got fucked up.
Oh no, but that's because I knew his whole personal backstory.
Right, which was your life to a T.
The
when you see animals really get fucked up on National Geographic, when they get bullied, when you see like 10 fucking leopards eat like a baby elephant.
No,
that's
not what I'm talking about. I'm talking these. We're talking about. Two
like
of the same
on
species, one-on-one. Yeah, that's fun. Like a fucking
okay
tiger and a tiger going at it. That's fun to watch.
Okay, I can get down with that. I still don't, like, prefer to watch it, though. When we were in Houston.
I guess, what it really comes down to is I like to watch dogs play. Because that was what I had in mind. I had it in my mind once when I was in college. We had two dogs over, and we were just kind of sitting on the porch drinking beers, and they were just going nuts on each other's backyard, like, chasing each other around,
yeah,
like, rah, rah.
Yeah, yeah, that's
and,
not fighting.
And my buddy looked over, he's like, it kind of makes you understand Michael Vick, doesn't it? And I was like, you know what, it does. But I guess it's,
yeah,
I guess it's playing and like, playing and fighting to the death after getting in a rape cage is a
yeah, like the,
different thing.
Like
rape
rolling stand around in the backyard, getting electrocuted by a dog owner, different
yeah
story.
I've never seen, like, I guess I know absolutely nothing about dog fighting except for what, like, I've heard in the Michael Vick trial when I was, you know, what was that, 10 years ago?
Yeah, but that's probably, like, all you need to know.
Well, I still don't know. Like, I don't know what it looks like. I don't know what the scene is.
Yeah,
I just know the term rape stand. I'd forgotten about electric sticks. Like,
yeah.
Let's just
we'll move on. Is there any answer on Japanese fighting fish?
It basically says bite each other and slam into each other. So
they just fucking, it's like a bar fight. They just fucking anything goes. Next voicemail.
Hey, what's up, everybody? So with the Oscars in the rearview mirror, if you were in the position of the guy from La La Land and you won a prestigious award and then halfway through your acceptance speech you had to hand it over to someone, who is the person that you would least want to give it to? So, like, mortal enemy. I'm really
Kevin,
interested in Oz's answer, especially if it's, like, some porn star beat. But KFC and Final Word, here's the twist for you. Portnoy's ruled out because that's just too easy. All right. Viva.
Fights, do you have an answer?
I have one for you.
Go ahead.
Jamie O'Grady.
I was way at the top of the list. giving my title over to Jamie O'Grady would be, I think I would have to say impossible.
You'd run off the stage?
I would probably, like, I'll go to jail for murder before I give that guy my hardware, give him my Oscar.
That makes sense, yeah. I mean, I think
I'm justified in that
you'd
sense
be hard-pressed to find a jury find you guilty.
Yeah, absolutely. If I killed him, everybody would be like, oh, I get it.
Yeah, I think so. I don't really have one, I don't think. I guess Portnoy would be one, but, like, who else would I have?
Yeah, you just don't have any sworn enemies.
I'm kind of a nice guy.
Which is funny, because, you know, you're not, but... But Portnoy is up there. In a way, he's your Jamie O'Grady, where it's like everybody hates Portnoy, but you had like a reason. You know, you had like years with him.
Yeah.
So as much as that guy took Portnoy off the table, it really is the answer for you.
It has to be.
Has to be.
Or I guess it could be like, the Black Sports Online guy. And it actually fits perfectly with La La Land Moonlight.
It does. It does.
I hate that guy. He's so annoying. He's so insufferable. He makes no fucking sense. Anything he says, it's just the worst.
Also, when they make you click their like site, you have to click like 10 times to get to the picture.
Oh yeah,
or whatever.
I do that once. If they tweet out the link to something that I'm interested in, I just search it on Twitter and I click someone else's.
That's
link.
True spite.
Yeah,
because you're lazy, and anything that can trump your laziness is absolutely true spite.
Yeah, I actually never talk about my hatred for him because like he doesn't matter. So right. Like he like
it doesn't.
So it's
doesn't
kind, I guess it's kind of like a Jamie O'Grady, where like he's a nobody. So like why would I even bother voicing?
You know what? Let me just say something about that, because there's two schools of thought on the internet. Don't give them the attention. They're, you know, throwing rocks at the throne. They want you to respond. You're gonna give them publicity. You're gonna give them followers. I don't fucking care about that.
Well, there's nothing for him to follow anymore.
I don't even care. I don't even.
He's out of the game now.
When I say that, I just mean like, you know, it makes him feel a little good.
Yeah, I don't care about that either.
Really?
Like, the way I live my life is, one, there are no rules on the internet. So I don't care if I'm bigger than you, you're bigger than me. If we're going to go at it, we're going to go at it. Two, I'm petty. I'm petty as fuck. I'm spiteful. And if I don't like you, I'm going to call you out. And if you get, like, some Twitter followers or some exposure, I don't fucking care. If it meant that I get to, like, publicly eviscerate you and emasculate you, I feel like I won.
That makes sense. And my dislike of the Black Sports Online guy isn't like yours of O'Grady. I actually don't think he's a bad guy. That's why I kind of feel bad hating him, because I think he's a nice guy. I think he like wants. I just think he's so boring and like clickbaity and fucking like, I don't know. I just think he sucks at his job. And
yeah,
that,
definitely.
And that annoys me. And he, but like, I don't. I think he has a kind heart. I just don't think he's good at what he does.
No, I think he's terrible at what he does. I used to feel bad about people like tweeting at him like, you're unemployed, here's like a job. That kind of fucking, you know, for a second I felt bad about that. And then I heard that story where it's a lot of he said, she said, but it sounds like he's pretty much a really shiesty businessman too. And I was like,
yeah,
all right, you're kind of a bad person too. So I'm really going to enjoy hating you now.
Yeah, I hate Black Sports Online guy. I'm going to say it.
I want to just isolate that.
I forget.
That's racist.
I always forget how to pronounce his name. It's Robert like Little or Liddall or something like that. Anyway,
I'll be honest. I don't have a problem with that guy.
You just talked about how he sucks his job and stuff.
Yeah, but I don't have a problem with him personally.
That's what I mean. It's why I feel bad that I do, because I don't have a problem with him personally either. Well, I think he's just lame and boring, and it pisses me off.
I can
like he says lol all the time on tweets that aren't supposed to be funny. Like, what the fuck is that about?
That sounds racist to me.
No, it's not racist. Just doesn't make any fucking sense what he does.
You want to do one more?
Sure.
One more and we'll wrap it up.
What's going on, KFC, Fights, Asa? Quick question. What do you think was weirder
that sentence
from the perspective of these two positions? The Native Americans seeing Europeans ride in on ships, or the Europeans seeing the Native Americans on land?
This dude is so stoned.
Why is everyone calling in today fucking Francis?
Yo.
Everyone just sounds like some fucking evil madman.
I kind of like this question, though.
I do, too. I like it a lot.
So it's the Native Americans seeing the ships roll in, or the ships with the Native the Europeans seeing, like, Native Americans being Indians, right? Like, just living like fucking crazy Indians. I would have to say it's... Did Native Americans never see ships before that? Is that the deal?
I think they had canoes, right?
Yeah. So, like, that's the thing. If there was no sense of a fucking boat, a ship, that would be like, this is a spaceship or something.
Right.
But they were probably like, that's a big fucking canoe they got there. Whereas the Europeans probably are like, looking at them like, oh, like crazy, being like, these people are aliens.
Yeah, but like, there had to have been some knowledge of fucking weird people in the woods.
I mean, it depends on what other shit
they
saw.
They're basically tan Vikings.
Yeah, right. So maybe if they're exposed to like the Saxons or whatever it was fucking called, there was some, you could be like, yeah, we're going to go see, didn't they call them savages?
I think it's the ship. Because
if you see like a whole fleet of ships coming your way,
right,
you're like, oh, fuck.
Like, we know what planes look like and flying spacecrafts and stuff, but if the Independence Day fucking alien mothership rolls up,
true,
we're going to be like, what the fuck is that? that's going to be a big thing.
Yeah.
Like they kind of just.
So they were just weird. Indians were just weird people, whereas a fleet of ships is like, I can never even wrap my brain around seeing something like this.
Yeah.
That's why things did not go well for the Native Americans.
Yeah, yeah.
You can check the history books.
The people who are more impressed are usually the ones who lose.
Yes.
The Indians,
you hear those stories about how, like, they bought the island of Manhattan for, like, a fucking corn on the cob, it's like, you guys, you're so overmatched.
That was just, like, because don't they say that they didn't understand ownership?
Yeah.
So they didn't even think they were selling it, and it was just, like,
But that's pretty dumb.
White man, once they were like, we gave them $6, now we're just going to start shooting them. It was just like justification for them to start killing them.
Very popular to be on the side of the white man when it comes to Native Americans, but just because you're one with nature and shit doesn't mean you can't understand the basic premise of, like, these people are coming to fuck our shit up and we need to...
Yeah, that is one thing. I'd like to step up for the white man for a second.
Because you know what? People don't defend the whites enough.
White Americans aren't the first people to take a land by force.
That's what I'm saying.
Right? It's for a long time there, the world was winner take all.
Since the beginning of time till the end of time, it's winner take all. And the Native Americans were just like, oh, come on over. Ah, we're dead. It's like, well, you should have probably been on your game a little bit better.
You got to know. I know when I'm in a fight pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, right. It took them how long to figure out that they were getting all their shit stolen?
You punch me in the face once, I'm like, oh shit, this is what this is.
Right.
This is for real.
You know, and what's great about this is when you make fun of Native Americans on a podcast, you don't have to worry about any backlash because they don't exist anymore. And if they do, they are not listening to a podcast.
Didn't we look it up recently? There's actually more than we thought.
There's like 2 million, but they're all on reservations at casinos. They're not listening to podcasts.
And I'm not saying like I'm happy the way things we went about things. I'm just saying, as far as white guilt goes, I'm reserving it for the slavery.
Yeah, listen, there's plenty of more white guilt that I need. You're very at the very bottom, Native Americans.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Even though it was genocide and all that stuff.
That's
on you.
It was a war.
And you lost.
It wasn't good.
It did not go well for them because they were not really aware. They weren't sharp. The Indians were not sharp. They were busy like inventing lacrosse. People still don't like lacrosse to this day. It's like, guys, that sport sucks. It didn't catch on 400 years later.
In the middle of the war, they're like, it's the fastest growing sport in America.
Some of the best athletes play this game, I swear. You guys got to give it a shot.
It's fucking Native Americans.
All right, so that's it for voicemails today. Let's get into this interview with the Bravo Boys, Jax, and the dudes from Summer House. It's weird. All right, it's KFC Radio. We got the Bravo Boys in the building. We got Jax from Vanderpump Rules. We got Carl and Kyle from Summer House.
So excited to be here, by the way.
It's a reality TV tour de force right here with you guys in the building.
Yes.
Jax, you are how many seasons deep in Vanderpump now?
We are 5 deep, about 6 filming.
That's no joke.
Yeah.
That's a while now. I don't even know if you can answer this question, but I got to ask it. You don't really work at that fucking restaurant, right?
To be totally honest with you, I do.
If I go to the restaurant, you're going to be my waiter?
That's
no way.
No. I'm not a waiter. There's a difference between a waiter.
Oh, you're the bartender, right?
Okay.
You know
say
what? No,
it.
That actually is a difference because if I went to a bar and you were just the bartender, that'd be cool. If you were like my waiter,
no,
I would be
first
clowning
of all,
you the whole
do
time.
That. I don't know how the girl. Yeah, it sucks.
Carl would order frites from you. I'm a sea salt frites guy.
Yeah. He does love the frites.
Yeah.
Nowadays, we're obviously so busy with the show. We have a lot going on outside of the show as well, so it's very tough. Do I go in there? Yeah, I'm in there like at least once a week. If I work, it'll be maybe an hour or so behind the bar, but it's just
It's like an appearance.
It's,
really.
It's almost like an appearance. Yeah. I'll work as much as I can, but it's extremely difficult. The restaurant is
in
super
the beginning,
packed.
Were you guys just full actual employees?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, for the,
that's really...
the last 2 years, I was there a lot. Right. I get there as much as I can. Everybody else still, you know, drops in apparently once in a while, so periodically. Right. But yeah, everybody's still technically employed there.
And then you all just bang each other until it goes south.
Yes.
That's basically the blueprint. I gotta love it. Just like, let's put everybody in a house or a place of work and then eventually they'll fuck each other and lie, and it'll be great.
Reality TV shows work together. On all the good nights of the week, you're not going out, right? So you work till 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. You work with hot girls. I mean, it's just kind of like it's gonna happen.
It's gonna happen,
right?
You're gonna trip and fall into it eventually.
Yeah, I don't agree where you shouldn't shit where you eat, but
that's all you do, man. Just shitting and eating it, and then shitting out this shit that you just ate,
exactly.
And then eating that up again.
Yeah, that's very true.
It's a human centipede over there. You guys were out in Montauk, right? Doing the Summer House thing. The Summer House is very similar, where it's just like, let's get everybody in a house together and get them all fucked up until they all bang each other. Because that's why I did Summer House. That's why I did that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's maybe not quite as infestuous as the Vanderpump restaurant.
Did you say infest?
Incestuous.
My God.
Infestuous is a very, you know, it's a big Wall Street term. I'm a very infestuous guy.
Yeah. my mind is wandering. But no, I think I've been going out there for a long time, and you get to know. I mean, Manhattan is small to begin with. You can easily just bump into each other. Out in Montauk and like, in particular Montauk, but the Hamptons in general, I mean, you it's such a small little like social community. Yep. So it's very easy to, you know, if you get a house, you round up a crew, and hopefully you get people that are on like similar pages, and hopefully you get, you know, good-looking guys and good-looking girls. And sometimes, yeah, there's inner house hookups. Sometimes it has a way of like bringing the house together or making it fall apart.
Very, very rarely bring them together. Very often bring them apart.
Yeah. But sometimes it's like, oh, well, that makes the bedding and sleeping situation easier. Now they're fucking. So let's just.
Free bed. Yeah, free one over there.
You should be an announcer. You got a good announcing voice.
Got a good.
What about mine? Ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
Oh, look at as Captain Cons walks in. Your boy here, the star of Zero Blog 30 strolls in.
Absolutely, Connor.
Carl, out in the Hamptons, they like, specifically Montauk, I know they're very like close-knit town. It used to kind of just be, you know, fishermen and sailors and whatnot. And then it kind of got more popularized. Do they just hate your guts out there when you're running around with cameras?
You know, honestly, the feedback was a little, I mean, we were scared a little bit, but everybody was pretty cool overall. Yeah. I mean, we were in Southampton one night, and actually there was a group of guys that kind of came at Steven, he's gay, and they were kind of giving him a hard time.
You're not all gay?
No.
Oh.
Wait, I saw your last episode. Don't even go there.
No, I mean, the town was pretty supportive for the most part. I mean, I know some of the locals, you know, if you go to some of the other bars, I went without cameras, and we didn't have any problems. I mean, we're buying drinks, we're behaving for the most part.
I mean, small town that's dealing with an influx in the summer to begin with, is their knee-jerk reactions going to be like, oh, hell no, right. Are we doing a reality show in our hometown?
Well, you know? I would have to disagree. I think Montauk, yeah, because everybody knows Montauk is such a hoity-toity place. But I think if you
go to they're worried it's going to become.
What about a small town in America? What if you go to, like, I don't know, Kentucky? Lexington. don't you think they would?
Yeah, the locals would probably hate.
Oh no!
Well, a little attention, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Love attention. It. Don't charge you to film or anything. It's cheap. I think maybe your location.
Yeah.
It's just I think other shows have went there and maybe destroyed it for you guys.
Sure.
And they kind of.
Yeah, I think some of the reaction is maybe like a Jersey Shore type of crowd that we are. But you know, we have full time jobs. We have careers. I think we're pretty well to do, guys.
Yeah. How about
what's a career? Like,
wait,
what's a job?
How do those things work?
So like.
Like a real job?
You mean like a
you go back to work. What do you? Can you say what you do?
Absolutely. So, I mean, we are very, you know, career motivated. I went to business school. I'm an MBA. I do startups.
Me too. We're both not using it well
both.
Enough.
Exactly. Look at this. Make him Babs and proud. So, no, I mean, I think that part of what brings the crew together that winds up out east is the same kind of, like, mentality, work hard, play hard, as cheesy and cliche as it sounds. And so those that are able to make their own schedule, like I do my own startup, so I'm working on a weight loss app. And I have the luxury of not having to stress out about a boss or B, like, you know, a 9-to-5 schedule. Other people in the house had much more stricter situations. You know, Carl makes his own schedule. He was doing sales last summer. But we had, you know, Lauren in our house, she works in finance. You know, there's people that I don't care how big your Sunday is, you're getting up at the crack of dawn on Monday.
So
dragging your ass back.
So those are the people with real jobs, and then you have an app and you do sales, which are
made-up
jobs.
I love how my thing is like entrepreneur. I mean, that sounds like unemployed. So.
Like I've had friends use that term a lot. I'm like, you're in between jobs.
No, I'm
not saying you.
I'm
totally saying entrepreneur from now on.
I get it. No, but a lot of people see that and they're like, oh, resident entrepreneur, aka unemployed, and I'm like, I knew it.
Yeah, and douchebag doesn't really look good up on the
That's a catch-all that we all know, but it's not on the resume. So an episode airs where some crazy shit goes down, and then, you know, the next day you're on the phone trying to do business with someone. Has that ever been like, I saw you last night when you were, like, banging that chick or doing this or that, and been a problem?
Honestly, like, the only time that it's ever come up is when I'm talking to someone who's, you know, they may invest in startups, and they're like, my girlfriend loves the show, so I started watching, and I got to say, you're hilarious.
So it's been good.
Oh my God, it's doing what
positive. Positive for
I,
you
I
too?
Mean, I had, you know, I worked with doctors and clients, and they were like, "This is amazing." And a lot of the females in a lot of these, you know, doctors' offices were, well, you know, the they wanted to have a meeting with me.
The females like the good looking right reality TV show guys.
They wanted to have a meeting with me just to talk about the show versus the actual product or I think I'm
yeah,
selling.
Yeah, Carl catered towards female dentists. Go figure.
Yeah, I put things
oh,
in your
that's
mouth.
Awesome.
It's funny because he means his dick. And then you got you where your bosses are just encouraging you to just do this kind of shit. Huh?
Yeah, they tell us to do
so
it.
Are you like an employee of Bravo or just like a
no, I'm an
star
employee
of one of their shows?
Sir.
Oh, get the fuck out of here with this. You don't work at this restaurant.
His boss is hot.
Sure.
His boss is hot.
They are hot. Everyone's really hot at Sir. I mean, it's that's kind of like the go-to
thing. Lisa?
Yeah, Lisa. She's gorgeous.
She's a bad bitch.
I feel like she's just getting better with age. She's like a fine wine.
It's so good.
You ever hit that?
No.
Do you want to hit that?
I wouldn't mind it, but Ken would have my ass.
I'll tell you what, out of everyone on that show, I think I'm giving Lisa the top spot.
Yeah?
If I, you know, if I could pick
sexy.
She's
really
sexy, and
sexy.
Got the accent and
classy.
The novelty
it's
of
the
it all.
Yeah. Sure.
It's like the rest of them are all pretty girls, but it's loaded. Like they're all the same. Lisa's.
Yeah, exactly.
Lisa's the type of girl you want to get pregnant, and it's like, I gotcha.
Yeah, baby trap.
Hell and Oprah. Like,
baby trap.
So what's? I mean, I've done many summer houses. Have you ever done the summer house thing? Are you? Where are you from?
I'm originally from Michigan.
It's not really.
No,
I mean,
we don't do that. I mean,
we
go up north,
here,
Mackinac Lake Island, Harbor Springs. We have that.
Okay.
Traverse City.
Was that the thing you guys did?
Yeah, that's what we do. We go on the weekends. We don't spend the whole summer out there like you guys do, like in Jersey and New York. You guys spend
summer. Yeah, I mean, that's
summer.
All
People
we
home.
Did.
Yeah.
I mean, that was life. Like you're living the other like 9 months
East Coast
for
thing.
Those 3 months.
It's very 100%. Like Nantucket, Martha's Vineyard. You guys all do that. It's a weird thing. We don't do that.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's working for the summer.
Yeah.
You know?
Literally.
Everyone works for the weekend, and we particularly work for the summer weekends.
Yeah.
Are you, like, sick of it being on reality TV, though? Like, do you wish you could just do it?
Sick of it. They just got started.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, but you know what I'm saying? Like, I like doing that because it was, like, I got away, and I was with my friends and, like, meeting girls and shit. Now, I'm sure you're having fun, but it's, like, kind of work.
Sure. It's a different dynamic. We can't just do what we normally would want because at the end of the day, we, you know— there's certain like agendas every weekend. Like,
right.
Hey, we want to like mix things up. We want to go paddleboard surfing. We want to get to this restaurant. We want to get to this bar. So, you know, it's not like it wasn't like a typical summer in that respect, but we still hung out with all the same people. We still got to the same venues. We still spent a ton of late nights out and incredibly hungover, you know, mornings.
Yeah. I mean, we had some good breaks, I think, between filming, which was nice. So like we could still, you know, rip it up without cameras.
You're out there in Montauk without the cameras.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
can't.
Fucking cheating. If you're going to be on a reality show, it should be in your face all the
probably,
time.
No,
that's
how ours is. Like, technically, ours is supposed to be 6 months, but ours ends up being all year round. Like, ours doesn't stop.
Yeah.
Like, so we're technically on break right now, but break's like a 3 week, 4 week thing, and then we start back up again.
I'm still not going to cry for you or anything.
No,
you're
don't cry
talking.
For me. But it's really, it is where people say, well, we're set.
We have 12 cameras in the house.
In the bathroom?
So we might go out.
Yours is
a little illegal. The bathroom is the safe zone. So
That's pretty much the same thing we got going around here. It's like,
exactly. I saw the game in there.
Safe from what I hear.
Well, I still don't believe it. I'm always like,
these three girls in here, man. I tell you what. They must just get hounded by you guys.
We're a very respectable bunch. I don't know.
Your HR department must be.
Yeah, HR.
Yeah, Barstool HR is.
Full-time.
Yeah. We're still looking for some employees. do you worry, any of you guys worry about, like, I mean, you can't really just be your total self.
I'm 100% my total
you
self.
You are not.
I think the PR people here can about
as the Bravo girls shake their head. You are absolutely the same.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, I just sat around the family. I was up in Vermont with family, and they were like, "There's no way you were yourself." And I'm just like, "Have you watched the show?" They're like, "Well, no." And I'm like, "Trust me, I'm myself. I have a very easy time.
No, well, I mean, listen,
have a very easy time being ourselves.
What about you? You seem like a pretty like straight laced.
No, I was actually myself. I mean, I was the new guy for the most part. I mean, I knew everybody, but not as well as Kyle or some of the other people. But honestly, I think I was really me. I mean, people are not surprised when they see it. They know that's me.
Here's what I would say to that. Jax, you're a ridiculous human. You be yourself is probably going to make for good TV. If you guys are yourselves, I don't know if that's like a show that's going to like grab people. You know what I mean? Do you worry about like, well, if like
my, what day is this? It's Monday. On the weekend, I'm a completely
different
human being.
Yeah, I hear that.
And people that meet me socially cannot even believe I'm the same person professionally and vice versa. But that's like, I feel like that's New York kind of
there's a lot
in
of
a nutshell.
Yeah.
And
I mean, we do it here where it's like, we'll say some ridiculous shit. And then to certain people, I'm like, well, that was just me playing up a character. And then to other people, I'm like, nah, of course I'm real. I'm genuine. And it's
that's
like,
my
I,
answer.
Yeah,
that's
I
my
use,
answer.
I mean, use it wherever.
Bipolar is maybe the real.
Right. So yeah. Talking to my wife, I'm just playing. Talking to my buddies, no, I was being 100%
that
serious,
was
man.
Straight up.
And sometimes I don't know which one is true. I've lost myself at this point. So,
but when you're on camera, you can't. That'd be exhausting to try to keep track.
Yeah.
If you can't just, you know.
That's
you
why
gotta,
I could
I
never do
that
reality shit.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, if we, rated R was a, I mean, if we were a movie, we'd be NC-17. It
oh,
would
my
be,
gosh,
right.
You could never, ours would be HBO for sure.
You could never get stuff, you could never get half
the show
stuff
would
on.
Suck if it wasn't, like,
yeah.
I mean, yeah.
They missed some stuff off camera, too, that was, I think, pretty substantial.
It yeah, just, that's crazy to me that they let you around without cameras because of the possibility of, like, the craziest shit goes down
there
and
was,
they just don't
they
have
get,
it.
There was
they
definitely
get, on our show,
missed.
They get really upset if we hang out when there's no cameras around. Like,
yeah, even, like, for this, like, you were talking before we press record, and I was like, all right, save it for the show because you're talking about good shit that you can't recreate.
That happens all the time. Like, it will, things will start happening because like I said, that's why our show is so real. I don't care if the cameras are or not. That's just who we are.
Right.
That's why our show works.
It's on you to catch
because,
it.
Because, yeah, that's on you. I'm not going to sit here and wish to push play because then that's where it becomes fake. And then
right.
I will never do a fake show. That's not who we are. We are, this is it. It is what you see.
You have a spinoff coming up?
No.
Nope.
Nope.
That was convincing.
Nope.
You heard it here first. There's definitely not a
I'm
show for Jax
open,
coming out.
I'm definitely open to a spinoff, though.
I would be, too. I would be, too. And Summer House, this is its first season, right? So you guys...
Yep. Two more episodes left. One tonight at 10. And then hopefully season two is on the horizon. I hope.
It looks good, though. Your guys' show does look good. You stole our formula, which works.
Yeah.
Well, hey, because fucking Vanderpump invented this
the
shit.
The second
man.
You have
no,
a camera
no, no,
in your
no,
bedroom.
No, they took the formula of having real friends instead of a casted
oh,
bunch. Like The Hills and all that other crap.
Got
where
it.
You're like, hey, let's start a reality show and cast a bunch of people and then be friends. We've been friends for 15, 20 years, some of us. So that's why it works. That's why it's so organic.
Got it. You guys have cameras in your bedroom? Like a security camera
oh,
style,
yeah.
like in the corner?
That's,
yeah.
Or like
careful
a cameraman or
like
camera.
A little taste
See,
of
I heard, house. I heard, because some of our production people left and went on your show, and we were getting, what's going on over there? What's going on?
Yeah.
What's happening? They're like, oh, we put cameras in the rooms. I'm like, oh, shit.
I'm telling you, I mean, it's just, reality TV is just going to one-up each other until you're just watching gangbangs.
I mean, I wish they would
it's
send us footage
like,
from the room.
There's
going to
have to be, like, murders and live sex on TV.
There was, the very first episode, there was moaning coming from my bedroom. And I did not know moans were like, you know, Bravo accepted.
Approved.
I didn't know. I had no idea what I was doing.
Well, they mic'd up the headboards
well,
too.
You guys aren't working for like C-SPAN.
Are you serious?
Yeah, yeah, my
genius.
Talking.
Our headboards were mic'd. We had no idea till like halfway in the summer. In fact, he
That's,
kind of
yeah.
It
and
out.
My pillow talk is unique. So,
well, Carl thought I was getting.
Carl, give me an example of your pillow talk.
I mean, we were talking about like so. If you were a wine, you'd be Cabernet Sauvignon.
Oh my God! I know
okay.
what
so
I
you
say.
Said,
I say,
so
give me your
said,
feet. Put those things in my
yeah,
fucking
when
mouth.
You
I'm
said
gonna suck
unique,
the
you
shit
meant
out of
super
them.
Fucking lame.
Yeah,
like,
lame. Cheese
pillow
dick.
Talk
cheese
with
dick.
A side
is
table of cheese. No, but I was actually getting frisky in my bedroom, which is on the opposite
what is this?
Side.
Cabernet awesome, and you're fucking frisky. You guys need to work
well,
on
what
this.
Are we rated here? I don't know.
You can say
well,
whatever
so
the
short,
fuck you want.
He thought I was banging my ex in the garage, which is below his bedroom. He goes to see...
I was going
deal.
To see the banging,
like,
obviously.
Why the hell, Kyle? God, why yes. is Kyle pumping cheek awesome. In the garage? Turns out it was just the stereo playing, and my bed was mic'd on the opposite side.
I was
man.
Listening to the production team watch... him and here.
Yeah.
I,
it's like
I was like happy
Home Alone
for him.
House.
I'm going to go look
you got
for
things
it.
Things rigged up all over.
3 in the morning in the garage. I was like, what a sleigh.
I know. That's amazing.
All right. Well, did you ever get worried about maybe like the TV, the cameras catching like you're drunk eating at night?
No. You know, that's why I'm doing a weight loss app.
Oh, right. Yeah, you're not.
Well, he actually he was in Dick Tracy. He played Mumbles.
Yeah. No, but it's kind of funny. Like, they caught everything. Like, they'll do a montage of me late night just grubbing. Pretty much blackout. And
well, it's either like you hopefully, when you're doing these summer houses, it's like you're hopefully going home with someone. And if you don't, you go home and you're eating like old pizza
you're going
or
home
making
with
like a sandwich or whatever. Yeah.
Yep.
And you know what? Sometimes I prefer that.
That's probably healthier.
Very simple.
Can't get many diseases that way.
No.
All right. Vanderpump's going to be on from now until like the end of time, I'm sure. So catch it on Bravo all the
I
time.
I hope so. Oops.
And you said Summer House, the last two episodes of the first season.
Yeah. 10 o'clock on Monday. So tonight and next week is our finale.
And we have one of your guys on tonight. We're at Watch What Happens Live.
Yeah.
Glennie Balls is on tonight.
He's on. He's bartender.
Glennie Balls
yeah,
making his...
It's bro night tonight.
It is bro night, and he's making the crossover to Bravo.
His
huh?
mom is so excited.
He was
is
the it? One in the bus yeah. during the pre-Super Bowl week, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
This is going to be an interesting night.
Apparently, he's
going
to get to speak, though. Like, the bartender gets to
yeah,
like
oh,
talk
yeah, yeah,
and interact.
Talking.
So,
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah,
he
yeah.
was in the bus just eating cheese balls for us.
Yeah, this is
now
a whole,
Andy Cohen.
This
you know
a big
what he said
step
today?
Up.
He was like, I'll be Andy's bear.
Yeah.
I was like, I wish that was the case. Imagine Glennie and Andy Cole were dating.
Oh, my God.
A couple. Power couple. All right, guys. Thank you very much, and we'll see you on TV.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for having us.
For sure.
Cheers.
Thanks, guys.